Philippians chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He, which is Jesus Christ, He which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how I greatly longed after you all in all the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Jesus, day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Skip on down to verse number 27. It says, only let your conversation, which is lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Father, as I give these people a final goodbye, ask that you would help me. You know my heart. You know I want to be a challenge to them, even as I go. I want to encourage them to keep on keeping on, to press on, to look forward to the day that one day we will meet again. Whether it's here or in the air, we'll meet again. And for that, we say thank you. Father, I ask that again, you would speak through me. Help the people tonight to not see a blubbering idiot. Father, help them to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with every word that I say. Help me to say that which you would want me to say. Help me not to say that which I shouldn't. Father, you're the only one that matters. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Philippians chapter 1, we find again that Paul is telling these believers his final goodbye. And he lays out a good pattern as far as his goodbye. And first of all, we find in verses 3 through 5, he gives the past. He gives the past when it comes to the Philippian believers. He says, look, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first time, first day that he met them until now. Paul had a great past with the Philippian believers. It started, the Philippian church started with Lydia. And you know that if you've done your church history at all, it started with Lydia and she got saved. And from there, Paul and Silas came to the city and through their imprisonment, as they were preaching the gospel through their imprisonment, the Philippian jailer got saved. And his house got saved. And he baptized them. And that's where the Philippian church started. Matter of fact, it's believed that maybe the church at Philippi was the very first church in all of Europe. The very first one. It started with those first sweet believers. And then it grew and grew and grew and grew from there. And now as Paul is now it's believed that he was writing this in his first Roman imprisonment. He is writing this letter back to them. Not so sure. Paul is not so sure if he was going to die or if he was going to live. He didn't know. But as he writes this, and he writes the very first several verses, I can only imagine that Paul is looking back at those memories and saying, yes, Lydia, I remember you. Yes, jailer. And I don't know what the jailer's name was or the jailer's wife's name was or his kids or any of that. But I remember that. And he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I can remember my very first times here I can remember starting out and teaching junior church. At that time, it was where the teen class is right now. It was divided back then. Half of it was junior church. The other part was teen class. And I can remember many of the junior church kids that were there. And I can remember teaching the teens. And my very first Sunday that I taught the teens, it was on attitude. It was. And I said, your attitude is important. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Many of them, through the years, 8 long years, have attitudes up and down. Up and down. But praise the Lord, I can remember many that were here that I thought for sure that they were going to say, that's it, I quit, I'm never coming back here again. But they're here. You're here. And praise the Lord, many of them are doing well. Many of them are wanting to serve the Lord. They're wanting to do what's right. And they have stuck the course. And I appreciate their testimonies that they gave, how that all the blubbering and all the chatting and all the talking and all the preaching, that they learned something. What a blessing that is, that they learned something. I can remember some of the great memories of them putting pie in my face. I remember that well. I can remember the time that they almost broke my nose in doing it. I remember the time that Mrs. Horsch came up to me a tad frustrated and said, Pastor John, how dare you allow them to do that to you? I remember that, Mrs. Horsch. You have a position of honor and you are the youth pastor. I understand that. I appreciate that, Mrs. Horsch. She's only looking out for her youth pastor and I appreciate that. At the same time, those kids will always remember putting pie in Pastor John's face. I remember very well dunking and holding Stephen and Becca under the water out there at the campground. You remember that, Stephen? I can remember almost drowning Joycer. You remember that, Joycer? Yes, I bet you do. I can remember great times with Brandon and Allie on our college trips. Great fun times. I remember seeing Hulk Hogan on one of our missions, on one of our college trips. Do you remember seeing him? Some of you are like, what? Yes, we were in Pensacola. We're in that area and we saw him. I remember just some incredible mission trips that we had. Going to Alaska and serving with those people, Brother Smoot, and seeing those little Indian kids come to know Christ as their own personal Savior was incredible. I remember going up to with Brother Jackson and all the other ones and praying about going up to Kobiak and helping those people out and raising the money to go and getting the chainsaws. And I can remember praying for safety. And he smashes his finger on the way before we even left the parking lot at Loomis. And thinking, oh, if we're going to start this way, I can only imagine that we're going to lose life, limb, and everything when we're up there with the chainsaws. And I can remember some people come up to me and saying, Pastor John, are you going to actually allow a teen to use a chainsaw? Why not? If I haven't killed them by now, a chainsaw can't. There's no two ways about it. And I then can remember, as we went through that week, I can remember Savannah having some severe issues and not so sure if that girl was going to make it. I can remember carrying her from the chapel all the way to the nurse's station. And she went in and out of consciousness. I remember that well. There was lots as I look back and as I look at the people, I've got great memories. Great memories. God has been good. Very good. I've had great times. And as Paul looked back, he just said, hey, I thank God for those good memories. That's sweet. That's dear. Thank God for them. And then he goes on in verse number 4 and 5. Verse number 5, he says, for your fellowship. For your fellowship in the gospel. Folks, you love me. And I can tell you love me. By not only how you treat me, but how you treated my wife and all of my kids as if they were your kids. You've done that. You've made them feel special. Hunter said, Dad, they're the only friends I got. It's because for his growing up time, he's only known you. That's it. He knows you and he knows you well. He knows you by name. All of my kids do. And you're special to them. You've invited them over. You've taken them out to eat. You've allowed your kids to play with my kids. You're special. They love. My kids love coming to church. They love coming to church. Not all kids can say that. Especially pastor's kids. You know why? I was a pastor's kid. We're one of the most judged kids that there are. I know that. We're held to a higher standard than anybody else is. Maybe save the pastor. And your kids will, Pastor Rich. Guard them well. But when they come to church, they come to Loomis Park, this is home. This is home for them. They know that you're going to come up and you're going to shake their hand. You're going to smile at them and say, hey, glad to see you. And they know you're not lying to them. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. That's fellowship. And when I shake people's hand, they're not willing to allow me just to shake their hand anymore. They say, Pastor John, I just got to give you a hug. I know you don't like hugging people. I'm not a huggy kind of guy. I'm just not. But they grab my hand and they won't let it go. And they give me a hug. That's sweet fellowship. It really is. Sweet fellowship. Where can you get that today? Tell me. You get it at work? Doubt it. You just can't get it. We have sweet fellowship. It's because of you folks. And Paul had it with the Philippian believers. That's what he says. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. I tell you what, folks, I felt at home my first day here. I really did. You can ask my wife. I felt at home our first day here. And it's been 8 sweet years. Sweet years. And there's been times, don't get me wrong, there have been times that I thought, man, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. I really don't. With some of the teens, either I was going to kill them or they were going to kill me. One of the two. That was just all there was to it. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They are, and I am today, what I am, because iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And what a blessing that is. Then we see not only the past, as Paul looks back at the past, he looks at the present with the Philippian believers. And we can see that in verse number 7. It says, even as it is meet for me to think of you all, and he's talking about the present with them right now, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, talking about where Paul was in Rome, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve all things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. He was talking about the present with them. And he says, hey, look, right now, as I'm writing this in the Roman prison, he says, look, I have you in my heart. Wherever I am, you're right there. You're brothers and sisters, and it doesn't matter where you're at, you're special. I'll never forget it. You're special. And then he goes on and he encourages them as he talks. He goes, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. You can see Paul's heart. As he talks to these people, these weren't just your average, ordinary speech. This was an average, ordinary letter. He goes, hey, look, brothers, Sisters, continue. Keep on keeping on. Don't forget the things that I taught you. Don't forget the messages I preached. Don't forget the things that I said. Don't forget all of the things that we did as we discipled one another and grew in Christ. Don't forget that. Keep on doing stuff for Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's what I want to see you do. Keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. Teens, whether you've been in the youth group for 1 year or whether you've already graduated out of the youth group a long time ago, keep on keeping on. And don't keep on keeping on because, oh no, Pastor John might hear of it. Who cares if Pastor John hears of it? You've got somebody greater that you'll give an account to. So keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. For the cause of Christ. And as I say that, the teens know my heart. I've already told them, and I've told them, and I've told them, and I've told them again. If God ever calls me someplace, I'm going to go. That's it. I'm going to go. Whether it's Africa, out west, wherever it is that God wants me to go, I'm going to go. You know something? God has called you some places. Teens, I don't care if your name is Jordan or Matthew or what it is, Brandon or Allie or any of them that have graduated ahead of time. What is it that God's called you to do? Don't stop doing it until you get it done. Do I need to say it again? You do it until it kills you. Okay? Just do it. I know I was talking to Savannah just today. And as we were talking and stuff like that, I said, hey, you know what it is that God wants you to do. Don't do anything else but that. Don't do anything else. Stephen, you know what that is for your life. Okay? Heath, you know what it is. Keith, you know what it is. And I can go on and talk to others. You know what it is that God wants you to do. I will be disappointed as your youth pastor if you don't keep reaching for that prize that God wants you to do. But far greater than Pastor John is the Lord Jesus Christ that wants to see you do great things for His kingdom. Great things. Matthew, you and I love soccer, bud. You love soccer probably as much as I do. But I tell you what, I'm going to warn Matthew just like I would warn any other team that's here that loves sports. Don't allow God, don't allow sports to be your God. It was my fault, Matthew. You know that. We've talked about that. Don't allow it. But at the same time, if that's what God wants you to do, Matthew, you pursue it with all your heart. Does that make sense? You pursue whatever it is that God wants you to do. And don't let nobody, no thing, no guy, girls, no guy, no girl, guys. Yeah, Matthew, Jordan. To assuage you otherwise. True. Why? Why is that? Because God's will for your life is the most important thing ever. It is. It is. And this world will cause a lot of distractions. Paul knew that as he was writing the Philippian believers. And that's why he said, look, I want you to abound more and more and more. Don't stay stale. Don't stay stagnant. Don't just get complacent and say, hey, I'm good. Everything's fine. Life's fine. No. I want you to keep growing and growing and growing and growing. You see, I was never satisfied with the teens. Even once they graduated, wherever they were, I wanted to see them do greater things. Do bigger things for the cause of Christ. Do more. Not to stop. And I encouraged them that once they graduated out, that God wasn't done with them. And He isn't. So whatever it is that God wants you to do, keep on keeping on. And that message that I say to the teens is for all of you. Uncle Joe, wherever that girl is, I'm sorry, Uncle Joe. You keep on keeping on. I'm not kidding. I asked Brian just the other day in regards to school. And I said, Brian, how's school going? He said, Brother Brian, don't forget, those boys and girls need Christ. It's true. And I hope, as we go to point number three and my last point, the future, I hope that the Lord calls one of the teens, one of the kids from Loomis Park Baptist Church to go to Africa. It's been one of my passions for a long time. There's a lot of kids in Africa, and they're dying quickly. Their AIDS in Africa is killing them. Somebody needs to go and tell those boys and girls about the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you go? God's not called me yet to go there. He may. He may. I've already told my wife, if He calls me, I'm going. That's it. But if He doesn't allow me to go, will one of you go? Please? One of you go? Matter of fact, if all of you went, it wouldn't be enough for Africa. If all of you went, and I don't care if you're Mr. McGee's age, okay? If all of you went, it wouldn't be enough. Those boys and those girls are dying that fast. And they need somebody to go tell them. The future. That's what Paul says in verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. And whether I come or see you, he's talking about the future, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Do great things for Christ. Do great things for Christ. Brother Wall, we don't know how much longer you have to live. You know that. We've talked about that. But I've encouraged you, and I've strived to encourage you. Look, live out the rest of your days for Lord Jesus Christ. The only difference between Brother Wally and everybody else is he knows that his days are short. He knows his days are numbered. Okay? He knows it. Guess what, though? All of you are dying. Do you not know that? All of you are dying. All of you. What are you going to do for Christ? I'm dying. I don't care if you're 2 years old. You're dying. What are you going to do for Christ? Sitting in those pews won't change this world. But if you get up and do something for Christ, and you live your life completely for Him, Colossians 1:18, that in all things Christ might have the preeminence, all things, and you live your life that way, guess what? It'll not only change Loomis Park, turn Loomis Park upside down for Christ, it'll turn Jackson upside down, it'll turn Michigan upside down, it'll turn these United States that badly needs Christians, good Christians, to stand up and live for Christ. But it'll change our world and turn our world upside down for Christ. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? The reason why my wife and I said we got to go is because I realize that there are churches that never had a youth pastor before. Never had one. And I want to help them. I really do. I want to see other teens come to know Christ as their own personal Savior. I want to see them discipled and grow up. And I want to send them out to do great things for Christ. That's my whole goal as a youth pastor, is to see young people grow up, get discipled, and send them out to God's mission field. Doesn't matter where it is, but to send them out in God's mission field. It's the way I can take my life and reduplicate it and reduplicate it and reduplicate it, reduplicate it. I appreciate the testimonies tonight. Because as I left here, when I started, my prayer, my goal was to leave with that testimony. Thank you for that testimony. Before God, and He knows, I've succeeded. Just in that part. But I won't succeed totally unless all of you get that vision that, hey, look, you're all dying. What are you going to do for Christ? What are you going to do for Christ? What are you going to do here in Jackson? And teens and young people, please don't just stay here. I want you to go out and do great things for the cause of Christ. Let your lifestyle, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel. Father, thank you.